Well, good morning to all of you here, and good morning to all of you on Zoom. It's wonderful to be with you here again. Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Once again, thank you very much for letting me come and preach to you this Sunday. So, as in any company, when I was in the Navy and I first started out, we were highly encouraged and pushed to advance in rank. So, like any company and in the Navy as well, we would be encouraged to advance in rank. And then as we went up, we went to, and what I'll do hypothetically is, up, sit at a bigger table. And so as I went up in ranks, when I got to the point where I was about to retire, I got to go to the highest table that on my ship I could go to, and that would be the commanding officer's table, to talk with him, to discuss things with him, and was quite an experience. Now, what Mark is talking about here is nothing in comparison to what he talks about today and what it takes to get to that table. So as a review, Mark is different from the other Gospels in that the overall theme is the coming to reign of God. As Mark says in chapter 1, verse 15, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news," which carries the theme of restoring people to wholeness, which we see throughout Mark's gospel. Good news of that is that the reign of God is here and now. The way Mark structures his gospel, it could be considered like a sandwich, or putting one event next to another that may not make sense to us, or to his original listeners. So when you take a look at the Gospel of Mark, and if you go all the way back to the 12th of September, which was the week before I came and preached, through next week, we have one big sandwich to look at. It starts and ends with the healing of a blind man. If we laid it out as a chart, it would sound like this. First, Jesus heals a blind man, Mark 8, 24 and 25. After that, you have the first interpretation of the Messiah's servant mission. Next, then we have Peter rebukes Jesus, and Jesus tells Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." That's Mark 8, 32 and 33. Then we have the second interpretation of the Messiah's servant mission. Next, the disciples argue about who is the greatest. Mark 9, 33 through 34. Then we have the third interpretation of the Messiah's servant mission. Then James and John ask to be seated at Jesus' right and his left hand. Mark 10, 35 through 37. And then next week, Jesus heals a blind man. Mark 10, 49 through 52. So seeing that huge sandwich in Mark, we go to the first two verses just in front of the reading that I read a bit ago. Mark 10, 33 through 34. Jesus tells his disciples, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." This is Jesus' third interpretation of his servant mission. So then we find at our reading, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, they see what's happening. They have seen all the great things that Jesus has done, all his miracles and what he has been saying. It would appear at this time that their thinking is, there is something big going on here, and we want to be a part of it. So they ask Jesus for a favor. They want a seat at the table if and when he is going to take over as king. And they don't just want any set of seats, but they want at his right and his left, places of honor. So thinking like James and John, see if you can picture this. So a throne room. Over here by this beautiful piano we have this beautiful throne. Let's say it looks like Queen Elizabeth's. Gold encrusted, lots of jewels. Right down this aisle here is a very beautiful carpet, one of those embroidered ones, for the king to come down. And over here on the right, we have this beautiful banquet table. Monstrous, 20, 30 seats. Right here in the front is a bigger chair. And right there on the left and right are James and John. That's what they're picturing. And then in a few verses, we see that the other disciples, they get mad about this. Because the brothers asked for that left-hand seat and that right-hand seat. Not one of the disciples sees what is really going on. Even though Jesus just told them that he was going to be killed, they are definitely looking very selfish at this stage of the game. It would appear all the disciples have observed the same thing that James and John have. Their own vision of what is happening. Boy, are they going to be surprised here in a few verses. So after all this ascension of the king discussion, Jesus reminds them of how the Roman rulers use their power over the people, how they regularly overpower and tyrannize those that they have conquered. Earlier in Mark, we see that with the beheading of John, the baptizer, Mark 6, 14 through 29. We will see a similar use of that power later in Mark in Jesus' own death. Mark 14, 53 through 15, 15. But Jesus reminds us that again, Mark 10, 44, whoever of you desire to be first shall be slave of all. Then Jesus, in verse 45, says something very interesting. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So there are two things going on here. Jesus is first telling us that Jesus' life is an example. I would characterize it as he is showing leadership by example. Here is the way you should live, and in Jesus' life, it means a very painful death. Now, the second thing going on here is his life a ransom for many. So the way we think of ransom in our society, it's as a payment or giving something to someone and someone giving us something back. But that is not what I believe is being said here. Matt Skinner of Working Preacher explains it this way. At the same time, Jesus' mention of a ransom indicates that his death will be more than just an inspiring example or a martyr's tragic protest against an unjust system. The word in question, in Greek it is latron, indicates that his death does something. It secures a release. However, the explicit context in which this statement appears is about power and servitude, not the problem of sin or the need to secure forgiveness. Furthermore, the Old Testament usage of latron and its cognates, while sometimes referring to a redemption or purchased freedom, just as frequently refers to God's acting to deliver people. A latron is a liberation wrought by divine strength, not as a payment. So what does it take to have a seat at the table of Jesus Christ? I think that by this example, you need to serve your fellow man in all situations. Look for those situations that allow you to show the gifts of God has given you and to serve your fellow man. All of us have them. Sometimes we need to look hard for them. And if you don't think you have any, ask someone. People see a lot in us that we do not see in ourselves. Amen. Once again, thank you very much. Would you please join me in prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. We thank you for the gift of being able to come here. And dear Lord, as we fellowship after this, we ask you to be with us, to join us, and to comfort us in whatever our time of need is. In Jesus Christ's glorious name, amen. And